Thank you, Bill. And I hope that we may feel as heaven felt on that Christmas night, because it said that there was much rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven. We had a good Sunday school this morning. We had a good service afterwards. And what I'm going to speak about tonight is almost the dead opposite of what Bill spoke of this morning. However, it's not a rebuttal by any means. And in our Sunday school class this morning, we were asked that we might remember, I believe, Gnostics, that's the word, and anti-Nomianism. Up until I heard it this morning, I hadn't the foggiest idea through a word like that existed or what it meant when it was mentioned. But as it says, the teachings of the present-day world in regards to a hope of salvation which they're going towards on a shortcut. But it doesn't work this way. I'm going to use for a beginning in 2 Timothy, verse 4. Now, Bill this morning in his talk spoke of something that is quite prevalent in today's world. He spoke of how people are depressed, how there's much stress and the like of that. I suppose, although we are familiar with it now, that it has been for many years, back even prior to the time of Christ. But we have before some scriptures that I believe, if we delve into them and do some very diligent thinking, that we can eliminate a lot of the depression, a lot of the stress, and other things which tend to occupy our mind. In the fourth chapter of the book of Timothy, before I start that, just a short time ago, we all witnessed a rather pleasant thing. We witnessed the baptism of a young man, a youth. From now on, he has something to do, which we all have had and will have until the days are over that we have been given. And here it is. Says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. As I mentioned, young Mark will have a trial before him, and quite a few others of us, I am quite sure, that the day will come when we will have, without a notice, a time when we will have to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. This should be on our thoughts quite continually. Not that we're going to have to answer to someone, but that we might know what it is that we ourselves have in mind. What do we think? What is our reason for the hope that lies within us? You know, Paul spoke of it in Corinthians, and he says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if there was no resurrection, if there was no salvation, if it was an oblivion after death, then we would be of all men most miserable. We'd be wasting a lot of time. In Peter, 1 Peter 3rd chapter, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Fear what? What should we fear? That we may not give a false answer, for one thing, to someone who is searching. Fear that we would send them down the wrong way. I'm going to, in regards to this, I'm going to go to the Book of Mormon. I'm going to go to page 82, the second book of Nephi. Now, as I mentioned, that we should have a reason for the hope that lies within us. In other, to be more specific, the scriptures tell us to have a reason. And you know, these scriptures are not just a writing of somebody that was a sort of a pious person and had good thoughts. Scriptures came to us not by the will of man, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These are the manner in which we get our scriptures. Therefore, we should not treat them lightly, but with reverence and deep, sincere thought. Page 82, second book of Nephi, chapter 1, reads on this wise. Lehi's exhortation to Jacob. It says, "Wherefore, I know that thou art redeemed because of the righteousness of thy Redeemer. For thou hast beheld that in the fullness of time he cometh to bring salvation unto men. And thou hast beheld in thy youth his glory. Wherefore thou art blessed, even as they unto whom he shall minister in the flesh. For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil, and the law is given unto men. And by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perish from that which is good, and become miserable forever. Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law, unto all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and unto none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits, mercy, and grace of the holy Messiah, who layeth down his life according to the flesh, and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise. Wherefore he is the first fruits of God, inasmuch as he shall make intercession for all men, for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved. And because of the intercession for all men come unto God. Wherefore they stand in the presence of him, to be judged of him according to the truth and holiness which is in him. Wherefore the ends of the law which the Holy One hath given unto the inflicting of punishment which is affixed, which punishment that is affixed is in opposition to the to that happiness which is affixed to answer the ends of the atonement." This, I suppose you wonder, why, and just getting into the Christmas season, why I'm going to into these scriptures that I have. But I have a purpose, and I think we'll be able to find it before we go too much farther. I'd like to turn now to page 323. And begin at about the 11th verse. This is Alma speaking unto Gideon. It says, "I trust that ye are not lifted up in the pride of your hearts. Yea, I trust ye have not set your hearts upon riches and the vain things of the world. Yea, I trust that ye do not worship idols, but that ye do worship the true and the living God, and ye look forward for the remission of your sins with an everlasting faith which is to come. For behold, I say unto you, there be many things to come, and behold, there is one thing which is of more importance than they all. For behold, the time is not far distant, that the Redeemer liveth and cometh among his people. Behold, I do not say that he will come among us at the time of his dwelling in his mortal tabernacle. For behold, the Spirit hath not said unto me that this should be the case. Now as to this thing I do not know, but this much I do know, that the Lord God hath power to do all things which are according to his word. But behold, the Spirit has said this much unto me, saying, Cry unto this people, saying, Repent ye and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths which are straight. Now, you know, we have, in the book of Luke, it speaks of John the Baptist, and this was his mission. It says that he was to prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. It says, For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. Behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and a chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, He will take upon him the pains and sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things, nevertheless the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is a testimony which is in me. These things have been prophesied of many years prior to the birth of Christ. We often read in the scriptures in places like Isaiah, and we find that perhaps it is hard for us to understand. Nephi spoke of this. He said the writings of Isaiah are hard to understand for those who are not familiar with the manner in which they wrote and spoke and lived in Jerusalem. But he said he delights in plainness. Now I do believe that these things to Isaiah were very plain, because he stated, and I believe it's in the 35th chapter, he said that there is a way cast up, and it is that the way is so plain that a man, though he be a wayfaring fool, need not err therein. Now these scriptures that we read are actually plain. We can put things into them to make them sort of hard to understand, or to make it believe that we're quite knowledgeable in the scriptures and by doing this. But the thing of it is, simpleness and plainness is what we are after. These are the manner in which the hearts of the children of men can be reached, because we're not all educated. And though we were educated, sometimes it's a stumbling block. But the simpleness of the gospel that is brought before us is of great value. I'm going to turn now to the second book of Nephi on page 27. And we're going to go back into some of the visions of Lehi, Nephi. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to find a place to pick it up here, but I believe I'm going to start at about the 44th verse. We'll back up a little bit. This angel is speaking unto Nephi, and he says, Believest thou that thy father saw the tree of which he has spoken? And I said, Yea, thou knowest that I believe all the words of my Father. And when I had spoken these words, the Spirit cried with a loud voice, saying, Hosanna to the Lord, the Most High God, for he is God over all the earth, yea, even above all. And blessed art thou, Nephi, because thou believest the things in the thou believest in the Son of the Most High God. Wherefore thou shalt behold the things which thou hast desired. And this thing shall be given unto thee for a sign. After thou hast beheld the tree which bore the fruit which thy father tasted, thou shalt also behold a man descending out of heaven, and him shall ye witness. And after ye have witnessed him, ye shall bear record that it is the Son of God. Came to pass that the Spirit said unto me, Look. I looked and beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen. And the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding all of the beauty. And the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. It came to pass, after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, I behold, thou hast shown unto me the tree, which is precious above all. And he said unto thee, What desirest thou? I said unto him, To know the interpretation thereof. For I spake unto him as a man speaketh, for I knew that he was in the form of a man. Yet nevertheless I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spake unto me as a man speaketh. And it came to pass, he said unto me, Look. And I looked, as if to look upon him. And I saw him not, for he had gone from before my presence. It came to pass that I looked and beheld the great city of Jerusalem, and also other cities. And I beheld the city of Nazareth. And in the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceedingly fair and white. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me. And he said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I said unto him, A virgin, most beautiful and fair, above all other virgins. And he said unto me, Knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, Behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, after the manner of the flesh. And it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the spirit. I hope this part here holds up a little bit. And after she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of time, the angel spake unto me, saying, Look. And I looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, Behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Now, we have many scriptures which denote, We have many scriptures which foretell of the coming forth of the Son of God. Now, as we read in the book of Peter, that we should give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Having believed the scriptures as far as we have studied them, I feel that it is of great importance that we know concerning these things. You know, God appointed us that we should die. This has been appointed unto us. And he appointed unto us the law. And he thought that it was expedient that he should give unto us his law, that we might know of them. How else would be able to do his will? And this is part of the law which he has given us, that we might believe on the Son of God, that we might believe the things which he has taught, which he has done, which all the prophets have given us. These are not, as Peter said, cleverly devised fables. Because he says, we were with him in the Holy Mount. They knew these things. They didn't have to take anybody's word for it, for they seen it for themselves. I'm going to turn now over to the book of Mosiah on page 215. This is the proclamation by King Benjamin. It says, 86th verse, O all ye old men, and also ye young men, and you little children who can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you that ye might understand. I pray that ye should awake to remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. O remember, these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. And again, my brethren, I would call your attention, for I have somewhat more to speak to you. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come, and things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel of God. Now, I don't know, I may go over to it, but in the first chapter of the book of Luke, it speaks of Zacharias, who had felt his lot that he should burn incense in the temple. And this one time when he went in to burn incense, there on the left side of the altar was an angel standing. It made him very afraid. But he says, don't be afraid. He says, I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God. Consider this for a moment. You go in to do your normal duty, which has been assigned to you. You come in here, perhaps, by yourself. And there standing is an angel, and he speaks to you. He says, I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God. If you can but imagine what an honor and a privilege that would be. It'd be great to even come to the portals of heaven and be the sweeper, but to stand in the presence of God is something beyond our imaginations. And he told Zacharias that he would have a son. Zacharias really didn't say, no, I don't think so. But he sort of doubted. Yeah, we'll skip that part of it. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come, and things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel from God. And he said unto me, awake. And I awoke. And behold, he stood before me. And he said unto me, awake, and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to deliver unto thee glad tidings of great joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and that thou mayest declare unto thy people that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, who was, and is from all eternity to all eternity, so come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. Excuse me. I'm going to skip part of this, folks, because if I don't, I'm not going to be able to finish. I'm going to turn now. There's quite a few other scriptures I would like to bring forth, all testifying, prophesying of the coming forth of a Messiah. Now I understand perfectly well that what most folks call Christmas is not the birthday of Christ. However, I do not feel it wrong at any time of the year to celebrate and honor the birthday of our Lord and Master. I believe this is pertinent. I believe it takes precedence over any and all other things in our life, that we would take time out to honor the Son of the Living God, whenever it is, whether it's the 4th of July or a month we don't have. As I mentioned, the angel Gabriel said unto Zacharias that he was to have it, that his wife Elizabeth would bear a child in her old age. He says, how is this going to be, seeing I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years? Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. He was sent. He didn't say that God sent him, but it's very evident. Thank you, Amy. It's very evident that God sent him to declare these things unto men. Because, you know, in the book of Amos, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he make his secret known unto his servant the prophets. This has been true down through the ages. And if we will listen, there are messages yet for us. What they are, I'm not sure. But they are there. But he told him, says, you're going to be dumb, not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. But anyway, he was told that these things should be, and that he should call his son John. But his name was Zacharias. And they said, well, how come there's none of your family, none of your kinfolk had this name? And they beckoned unto Elizabeth what they should call him. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And that's when his mouth was opened. Okay, what is the purpose of this John? We read in the Book of Mormon that his purpose was to prepare the way of the Lord and to make his paths straight. Now, I have heard it doubted in language that the Holy Spirit did not visit man until after the birth of Christ. Now, I'm sure that none of you are would go along with that saying. But I'm going to read a little bit farther on to you. And those people who would harm a little one had best read these two. Now I gotta find it. Now, after Elizabeth had conceived, it came to pass that Mary had been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and had conceived, and she went. It says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. A little babe, not yet born, knew by the Holy Ghost that he had come into the presence of the Son of the living God, who is yet to be born. The two unborn infants apparently knew each other at that time. They may not have known who they were, but they knew. The little babe, John, who we later learned to be John the Baptist, knew before he was born the presence of the Lord in Mary's womb. It's beyond our understanding, yes, but we know it is by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days, the days that Elizabeth had come to term and brought forth her son. And it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. It came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds, as but Mary kept all these things in her heart. Folks, I've read a lot, but I believe the scriptures portray this event better than anyone that I know of can give it, especially myself. The scriptures are before us. Here is the reason for the hope that lies within us. We have here before us an opportunity, the chance for salvation. All we have to do is to search the scriptures and to look, to watch, and to pray. For the gift is unto you and unto me and unto many on down through the ages, as long as time shall last. These things are going to be given unto the children of men so long as they are on the face of the earth. These are the promises that they who wait upon the Lord have. Promises way beyond the imaginations of men. We don't understand them all. We don't have to understand them all. What we have to do is to believe on what God has told us. We have to believe in the gospel that Jesus Christ brought. For he said, It is not my gospel, but my Father's who sent me. Why do you suppose that God would send his son to go through the torments that he went through? Why do you suppose that you'd allow him to die upon the cross? Could you send? I know I don't think I could. I don't believe I could send my son knowing what was going to take place of this manner. I have done some things which were hard, but this would be harder. The reason, I believe, that God done such a thing can be summed up somewhat in the book of John. It says, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might... This is in the 15th chapter, 11th verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And he laid down his life for his friends. All we have to do is obey his commandments, to follow them, to shun the things which would deter us from this path. The path lies straight before us. Let's read that a little bit. Considering the path. O my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord the Holy One. Page 110. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived. This is our hope. This is our salvation. That if we will only believe what we read and what we see, if we will go unto God in prayer that we understand the things which we don't know, which we feel that we are not fully in understanding, go unto God, as it tells us in the book of James. If any lack wisdom, go to God, who giveth to all men liberally. These are the promises that we have. Where else can you get such a promise? Anything you ask will be given to you if it is proper, if it is so God's will. Hope is the opposite of despair. Hope, what is hope? How would you define it? How are you going to have faith without hope? How are you going to have hope without faith? How are you going to have any of them without Christ? It's hard to conceive. Is there some who would like to come up with another way? This is the simplest way ever devised. Men have tried to complicate it, but complicate it in vain. Quite a ways off my track, but that's all right. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, said this: I marvel, and this would go along with our Sunday school class this morning, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Yes. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Why? Why would someone, having a knowledge at all of Christ, you'd have to have some knowledge of it in order to try to pervert it. Why would someone do this? I don't know. Because of the enticings, I suppose, of the opposite force. He is great in his deceit. He is a master of deceit. But Christ is the master of truth. He is truth. His word is truth. When we can come to a realization of this, we'll have come a long way toward the salvation of our soul. So, as it says in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for it is the whole duty of man. Thank you.
Thank you, Emery. We'll use number 9.